Parshas Vayeshev describes the episode of Mechiras Yosef and the very tragic event of the brothers throwing Yosef into the boar, into the pit. The pasuk says, "Vayikachuhu vayashlichu oso habora vehabor reik ein bo mayim." They took Yosef, they threw him into the pit, and the pit was empty. It didn't have water. And we know the statement of Chazal made by Rav Nosson Bar Minyumi in the name of Rabbi Tanchum, Shabbos Chaf Aleph from Beis Tachav Beis Amad Aleph, Vehabor Reik Ein Bo Mayim, Avol Mechoshim Veakrabim Yeshbo. Rashi and Chumash quotes this, that they infer from the phraseology that the pit did not have any water, that it must have been Shammai, that it did have snakes and scorpions. It didn't have water, but it did have something else, snakes and scorpions. Now, that's not the only statement made in that sugya by Rav Nosson Bar Minyumi in the name of Rabbi Tanchum. That statement is actually preceded by another one, Rabbi Aaron, and he says, Ner shel Chanukah shehinicha lamala mechaf ama pesula kisuka v'chamavli. If you put Neros Chanukah above 20 amos, that Neros Chanukah is psula, it's invalid, just like a sukkah and just like a mavui. Sukkah is where you put the schach above 20 amos. Mavui is where you put the korah, the crossbeam, above 20 amos. In all three of these cases, you have not accomplished your goal. So the question that some mefarshim, some achronim deal with, Aryeh, is what is the connection between these two statements of Rav Nosson Bar Minyumi in the name of Rabbi Tanchum? Now, to be perfectly fair, there doesn't necessarily need to be a connection. We see all the time in Shas that a certain Amora made a number of statements and they're all grouped together. However, perhaps there is some connection between them, and in fact, Rav Baruch Epstein in his Torah Temima, Breishis Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chaf, Ha'ara Chaf, so he argues that there is a connection between these two statements, between Mechiras Yosef and the Psul of Neros Chanukah above 20 Amos. So what is that? So the Torah Temima, he says that it must have been that the brothers were not aware that there were Nechashim Ve'akrabim in the pit. Meaning, yes, they did something very terrible. They threw their brother into the pit. But their plan was to retrieve him. Right? So they wouldn't have put him in the pit had there been Nechashim Ve'akrabim. That far they wouldn't have done. So they must not have known that there were Nechashim Ve'akrabim. Now, you know why they didn't know that there were Nechashim Ve'akrabim in the pit? Because the Pasuk uses the word Vayashlichu Oso. They threw Yosef into the pit. Vayashlichu, throwing, hashlacha, the Mefarish and Masechta Tamid, he says that ein hashlacha pachos mechaf ama. Whenever we use the term vayashlichu, hashlacha, that connotes that there was at least 20 amos of depth in the place into which the person was thrown. So vayashlichu osoa abura, if hashlacha is no fewer than 20 amos, and that means that the pit was at least 20 amos deep. And when something is 20 amos tall or 20 amos deep, so the Gemara in Sukkah says that the ayin is not sholit. A person cannot see well, he cannot discern what is 20 amos high or 20 amos deep in certain circumstances. There are exceptions to this rule, but in certain circumstances, a person cannot see well 20 amos deep or 20 amos high. That's why the brothers didn't know that there were Nechashim Ve'akrabim in the pit, because it was at least 20 amos deep, and 20 amos, eino ayin sholtabo. The eye does not discern that amount of depth. Ah! So now, once that's the pshat in the pasuk of how the brothers didn't know that there were Nechashim Ve'akrabim, so Rafi, this is brilliant. That's why that statement about Nechashim Ve'akrabim being in the pit is grouped together with what halacha? The halacha that if you put Neros Chanukah above 20 amos, above the height of 20 amos, you're not yoytze. You're not yoytze. It's pasul, invalid. Why is it invalid? Says Rashi on the spot, Shabbos Chav Beis Med Aleph, because lo shalta ba'ina. Because the Neros Chanukah are above 20 amos. So the ayin can't see over there. So there's a common denominator between the two statements of Rav Nosson Bar Minyumi, Mishmei Rav Tanchum. There's a common denominator. The tzad ashove between them is that they're all about what can the eye see. The brothers couldn't see into the depth of the pit. That's why they put Yosef there. And if you can't see the Neros Chanukah because they're above 20 Amos, then the Neros Chanukah are possible. So now, why is it, though, that if you can't see the Neros Chanukah that they're possible? So you all know the answer. And Rashi says himself, because if you can't see it, then there's no Persumei Nisa. If there's no Persumei Nisa, you can't fulfill the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah. A Ner Chanukah, Yonatan, that lacks the potential for Persumei Nisa, that's not defined as a Ner Chanukah. That's not the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah, because there's no Persumei Nisa. Oh, very good. So Halacha L'maisa, the 20 Amos issue, is very relevant for apartments. I don't want to discuss that now. Maybe we'll discuss that next week. But what I want to discuss for today is the special role that Persumei Nisa has for Neros Chanukah. So listen to this. Listen to this. The Gemara in Shabbos over there, when it says that if you have Neros Chanukah above 20 Amos, that it's pasul, it says something interesting, Yoel. It says, Psula kisuka v'chemavli. Psula kisuka v'chemavli. It's disqualified, it's invalid, just like the sukkah and like mavli. And Tosfos on the spot asks a compelling shaila. They say, hold on a second. If you look at the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, you'll see over there that whenever we talk about a disqualification based on height, we change up our terminology based on whether we're talking about a din de oraisa or a din de rabbanan. If we're talking about a din de oraisa like Sukkah, so then we use the terminology of psula, Rabbarin. We use the terminology of psula. But if we're talking about a din de rabbanan, we don't say psula. We don't say pasul. We give you the resolution. We give you the fix. We say, yema'it, bring it down, lower it. We give you the solution. So Tosos is bothered. Neros Chanukah is a din d'oraisa, din d'rabbanan. A din d'rabbanan. So why did the Gemara say psula? It should have said yema'it. It should have said, if you put the Neros Chanukah at 20 amos or more, then bring it down. That's what it should have said, but it doesn't say that. It says psula. So the Chasam Sofer has an incredible diuk from this Gemara. The Chasam Sofer says, you see from this Gemara that it uses a d'oraisa formulation with respect to Neros Chanukah, that although the Maise Prati, even though the particular act of Neros Chanukah, of lighting Neros Chanukah, is a chiyuv d'rabbanan, the Rabbanan came up with that obligation. But David, there's a kiyum d'oraisa when you light Neros Chanukah. The Torah never told you to light Neros Chanukah, but says the Chasam Sofer, the Torah did tell you to publicize miracles, to be mefarsim es hanes. It didn't tell you how to do it. Didn't tell you how. But it said if you experience a nes, you have to publicize it. The Rabbanon come along and tell us how to do it. They tell us to light the Neros Chanukah. But Zemin Fundanin, says the Chasam Sofer, from here we learn that there is a kiyum de oraisa to Neros Chanukah. And that's why the Gemara uses the terminology of the oraisa of psula. Because there's a kiyum de oraisa inherent in Neros Chanukah. Wow. So that leads us to our questions. Rabosai, if there's a de'oraisa requirement of Persumei Nisa, to publicize a miracle, first of all, what's the source for that requirement? What is its character, and how does that get played out practically? And also, is there anything unique, specifically about the Persumei Nisa, in the context of Chanukah? Those are the questions that I want to explore with you today. So in terms of the source for the mitzvah of Persumei Nisa, so the background to this is that the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos in Shorash Aleph, in his first of the Shorashim, the Rambam says that Minyan HaMitzvos, when we count the mitzvos, we count only a mitzvah de'oraisa, but not a mitzvah de'rabbanan. And therefore, the Rambam challenges the Baal Halachos Gedolos, the Bahag, who counts Ner Chanukah as one of the Minyan HaMitzvos. And the Rambam says, I don't understand. How can you count a mitzvah de'rabbanan? If you're going to count Ner Chanukah, you should count all of the mitzvos de'rabbanan. It doesn't make any sense. How can you count a mitzvah de'rabbanan? So how do we reconcile the position of the Bahag? Why would we count Neros Chanukah? Why would the Bahag count Neros Chanukah as one of the Minyan HaMitzvos? So, one answer could be, based on this Chasam Sofer, that Neros Chanukah, although as a mitzvah pratis, as a specific act, is a din de rabbanon, but the kiyum is a din de oraisa. And that's why he counts it in the Minyan HaMitzvos. Now, where would we get that this is a kiyum de oraisa? So the Chasam Sofer says that it's based on a Gemara Megillah Daf Yudalad Amud Aleph, which says that we are umame avdus lecheiros amrin on shira mimisa lachayim lo kol shekin. And the Gemara over there is in the context of Purim, but the Chasam Sofer applies it to all nisim, where essentially what the Gemara is saying is a kavachomer. If when Akadosh Baruch Hu took us out from Mitzrayim, He freed us from Mitzrayim, amrin on shira, we sing to Hashem, we publicize the miracle. So then mimisa lachayim lo kol shekin. If He saves us, if He provides us with salvation, He gives us life. How much the more so? We didn't only get freedom, we got life. So how much the more so do we have to establish a day to commemorate that miracle? Says the Chasam Sofer, that's the source for the mitzvah de'oraisa of Pirsumei Nisa. That kal v'chomer from Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Chasam Sofer says that there's a mitzvah de'oraisa to commemorate a miracle, but the Chachamim fill in the details about how exactly you go about publicizing that miracle. Now, there's another option as well. There is a Sifra, the Medrash Halacha on Sefer Vayikra, which extrapolates from a pasuk in Parshas Emor that says, "V'lo sechalulu eshem kodshi." Don't profane my name, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Medrash infers from there, it extrapolates, "V'lo sechalulu, don't profane, rather do what? What should you do instead? On the contrary, Emor Kadesh." You should say, you should sanctify Hashem's name. Don't profane it, sanctify it, right? So Rav Daniel HaBavli, one of the Rishonim, who's quoted in the Chuvos of Rav Avraham ben HaRambam, Chuvos called Maisen Nisim, this is in Simen Aleph, Rav Daniel HaBavli infers from that Sifra that there's a Chiyuv de Oraisa to be Mefarsei Menes, to publicize miracles, because the Medrash says, Emor Kadesh, what should you say instead? Don't profane, sanctify. So Rav Daniel HaBavli says something wild. He says that when we are Mefarsei Nisim, when we publicize miracles, what we're doing is fulfilling the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. We're sanctifying Hashem's name in this world. Now, Rabbi Avraham ben Arabam finds that a bit difficult because he says, well, if that's true, then there should be many, many more days on the year when we have, for example, a chiyuv to say Hallel. Right? Part of this would be saying Hallel, says Rav Daniel HaBavli. Saying Hallel on these days, on Hanukkah, would be part of this obligation of Pirsumei Nisa, it would be a kiyum of Pirsumei Nisa. So says Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam, if you're doing it on Hanukkah, why don't you do it on all of the days that are listed in Megillas Tainis, where a miracle occurred? So that's Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam's kasha. We're not going to go more into that right now, but suffice it to say that we have two options as to where exactly this obligation to publicize miracles derives from. Number one, the kal v'chomer, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu freed us from Mitzrayim and we sing Shira, then so too we have to do so when He saves us. And number two, Rav Daniel HaBavli, that it's a kiyum of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. So what exactly then is the nature of the obligation? Well, according to Rav Daniel HaBavli, what we're trying to do is sanctify Hashem's name by publicizing the miracle. For the Chasam Sofer, it's more about establishing a day that commemorates the miracle. That is the kiyum of Pirsumei Nisa. So for the Chasam Sofer, what follows, and he says this beferish in a tshuva in Arachayim Chedek Aleph Simen Reish Ches, that part of the d'oraisa nature of a day that is established on the calendar to publicize miracles that Hashem does for us is that that day is aser behesped of etainus. You can't eulogize on that day, and you can't fast on that day. It's a celebratory day. Now, did the Torah tell us what to do on that day? No. But it does tell us to mark a day on the calendar to commemorate the miracle, and when we have that day, then obviously we have to correlate our behavior towards the nature of the day. This coheres very nicely with what the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, says, which is that Chanukah was not nullified, despite the fact that Megillas Tainis, all of the other days in Megillas Tainis were nullified. Why? Shiny Chanukah, the Mefarsim Nisa. Because the central element of Chanukah is the Pirsum Hanis, is the publicizing of the miracle. And perhaps that's why the Gemara, Shabbos Chof Aleph Amud Beis, as well as the Rambam, in Hilchos Chanukah, Per Gimel, Halacha Gimel, they both define the days of Chanukah. The first thing that the Gemara and the Rambam say about Chanukah is, Asurin behesped v'tainis ki yimei hapurim. The Rambam adds, ki yimei hapurim. Asurin behesped v'tainis. The first thing that the Gemara and the Rambam say is, Asurin behesped v'tainis. Why is that the first thing that we say about Chanukah? Because what we're trying to say is that from a de'oraisa perspective, a day like this needs to be Aser Behesped of Etainus, because it's a commemoration and a day of Pirsumei Nisa. Now, another nafkamina pertains to how much one has to spend on the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah. The Rambam in Chanukah, Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Beis, writes that if a person does not have enough money for Neros Chanukah, he needs to sell the shirt off his back in order to procure Neros Chanukah. Where does he learn that from? The Magen Mishnah says he learns it from the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. What do those two share in common? The aspect of Pirsume Nisa. Why would Pirsume Nisa be the one mitzvah that we have to sell, that we have to get rid of more than a fifth of our money for? So the Rav, as quoted in Harei Kedem, suggested that because based on what Rav Daniel Ababli said, that Pirsume Nisa is a kiyum of Kiddush Hashem, and for Kiddush Hashem there's no limit, there's no limit about how much you have to spend for Kiddush Hashem, so that's why it applies in the positive way. When we're being Mekadesh Hashem with the mitzvah of Pirsume Nisa, we have to sell, we have to even sell the shirt off our backs. Now, in the last part of this year, I want to discuss a couple of ways in which Pirsume Nisa on Chanukah is unique, different even from other Pirsume Nisas. So we already got started in the Gemara pointing out that Pirsume Nisa on Chanukah seems to be part of the mitzvah. That's why you can't have the Neros Chanukah be above 20 amos. And the truth is that we find this in a couple of other expressions. So take, for example, the following case. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Tafresh Ayin Beis, Siv Beis, that after the Zman of Tich LeRegel Min Ashuk, after the time when people are no longer in the marketplace, so you do still light Hanukkah candles, but you only do it misafik, because there are some positions that say not to do it at all. So you do it because there are some positions that say to do it, but some positions say not to do it, so you do it misafik. Now, generally, when it comes to safik, do we make a bracha? Usually we say safik brachos lahakel. If you're doing something based on a safik, you don't make a bracha. So that's what the Magen Avraham says. He says, presumably, when you're lighting very late at night, you should light without a bracha. But he points out that the Shulchan Aruch implies that you light even with a bracha. Why would you light with a bracha even though there's a safik? So Rav Yaakov Emdin in the Moruk Tziyah, he says that this is because the Birkas HaMitzvah on Ner Chanukah, Lahadlik Ner Shal Chanukah, is unique. You know why? Because that bracha, when you make a bracha before you light Neros Chanukah, what you're doing is demonstrating that you're doing this for the purpose of Pirsume Nisa. You're making a bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is a fulfillment of a mitzvah. The lighting of Neros turns from just having light in the room into a mitzvah that's Mekayim Pirsume Nisa and Mekadei Shem Shamayim. That's where Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank explains in Mikrai Kodesh, Chanukah Simen Chaf Dalet. So if that's the case, then the bracha is not just like a normal Birkas HaMitzvah. It's actually part of the very mitzvah. Part of the mitzvah is to say the bracha. Because by saying the bracha, what you're conveying is that this Maisa is a Maisa of Pirsume Nisa. So you have to say it in a case of Safik, because it's part of the mitzvah. The Safik entails that you do the mitzvah. Well, part of the mitzvah is saying the bracha here. It's not just like a prelude to the mitzvah. It's part of the mitzvah. This also relates to another machlokas about if you light late at night, do other people have to be awake? So the Chemen Moshe is of the opinion that you can light late at night and say a bracha even if no one else is awake. But the Magen Avraham disagrees. And the Mishneh Berurah says, like the Magen Avraham, that you should try waking people up. What's the Nekudas HaMachlokas over there? So Rav Moshe Feinstein, or Chaim Chelek Dalet Simen Kuf Hei, he says that what they're arguing about is whether Pirsume Nisa is a definitional feature of mitzvahs Ner Chanukah. According to the Magen Avraham, you can't have Ner Chanukah without Pirsume Nisa. So if you're the only one there, you just don't have the mitzvah. You can't say the bracha. But according to the Chemed Moshe, you could say one of two things. The way Rav Moshe takes it is that Pirsume Nisa is not actually a definitional feature of Neros Chanukah. It's really, it's what he calls a tenai. It's a precondition for Neros Chanukah, but it's not part of the mitzvah. But you could argue also that according to the Chemed Moshe, Pirsume Nisa is part of the mitzvah. He just disagrees about what constitutes Pirsume Nisa. Maybe just lighting for yourself is also considered a Pirsume Nisa. So that's one way in which the Pirsume Nisa of Chanukah is unique. in that it integrates into the very mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. There's another way in which it's unique, which is its scope and reach. The Avni Nezer in Arachayim, Simin Tav Kuf Aleph, points out that there's a difference between three mitzvos that all have an aspect of Pirsumei Nisa. The first one is Kiddush, the second is Dalit Kosos, and the third is Neros Chanukah. And he says that Kiddush on Shabbos is being mefarsim the Nes of Shabbos to yourself. Dalit Kosos on Pesach is being mefarsim the Nes of Yitzias Mitzrayim to your family. Neros Chanukah is being mefarsim the Nes to everyone, even outside of your family, outside the window. And that explains why the Magen Mishnah says that there's a kal vachomer, that if arba kosos require you to sell your shirt off your back, then certainly Neros Chanukah does. Because the Pirsumei Nisa of Neros Chanukah reaches even further than the Pirsumei Nisa of Dalit Kosos. And the last one that I want to discuss is whether Pirsumei Nisa of Chanukah applies even to be mefarsim the Nes to non-Jews. There's a whole discussion about this. The Gemara in Shabbos, Taf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, and Rashi there. Rashi, on the surface, suggests that the mitzvah would apply even to being mefarsim to non-Jews. The Rif says not like that. Rav Moshe Sternbach, in Moadim Uzmanim Cheles Beisim in Kuf Mem Aleph, he quotes his grandfather, Rav Shlomo Zalman Pines, who says that that's exactly the machlokas between Rashi and the Rif, that Rashi thinks that there's Pirsumei Nisa even for non-Jews, the Rif thinks not. Rav Sternbach disagrees. Rav Sternbach thinks that even according to Rashi, there's no Pirsumei Nisa for non-Jews. But why would we say that there would be Pirsumei Nisa for non-Jews? What do the non-Jews have anything to do with our mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa? So in Harei Kedem, also quotes from the Rav, that a brilliant idea. If Pirsumei Nisa is a din in Kiddush Hashem, so part of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem is to demonstrate our beliefs. He proves that by pointing out that even one is not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah, even in a case where you would, according to the halacha, you would be potter. But you still can't do it when it's a case of Kiddush Hashem. Why? Because you can't even give off the impression to a non-Jew that you worship Avodah Zarah. Says the Rav, the same thing is true in the positive. We have to give off the impression to the Umos HaOlam that we were not swayed one bit by the ideology of the Yevanim. They tried the Ashkicham Torasecho La'aviru Michukei Ritzonecha, and we haven't assimilated one bit. We are full-fledged. We are completely and wholly committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's part of the Pirsumei Nisa, to show what we stand for, to demonstrate our ideals and our principles. And that's perhaps why there would be a Pirsumei Nisa even for the Goyim. So what we saw today is that the Pirsumei Nisa of Chanukah not only is connected to Parshas Vayeshev in terms of the pit being 20 amos deep, but also is quite unique. It is a kiyum de oraisa, according to the Chasam Sofer, and Rav Daniel HaBavli, and that reflects itself in a number of halachos, including the Hesped Vitainis, prohibition of Hesped Vitainis on Chanukah, selling one's possessions in order to procure Neros Chanukah, and also how much Pirsumei Nisa is integrated within the mitzvah and how far of a reach it has in the mitzvah. That it's part and parcel of the mitzvah, so much so that you have to say the bracha in a case of suffik, that it has a reach beyond Kiddush, beyond Dalit Kosos, to try to be mefaris in the knees to everyone, and maybe even Goyim. Because what Chanukah is all about, as the Levush and the Mishneh Berurah explain, as opposed to Purim, which was our fight for physical existence, Chanukah is our fight for our spiritual existence. Chanukah is our fight to live a life with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we light those Neros, what we're doing is taking a stand. We are showing the Umos HaOlam that no matter how much pressure we are under, no matter how much they terrorize us, no matter how much they intimidate us, none of it matters. Because we light those candles and say, we are on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's team, no matter what you do to us. And we are going to continue to be Mefarsim His Nisim, year in and year out. I wish everyone a Freilich Chanukah.